in our ears to the word of God as we receive Brother Aaron Martinez with us. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Nice joy. Amen. Nice glory. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We have a great big God. And what's happening here is that the prayers are taking effect. Your prayers are taking effect. You know, the fasting is taking effect. You know, the prophet told the king that was supposed to die. You know, he said, you're going to die. I think, brother, somebody mentioned it the other day. King, you're going to die. And okay. So the king says, he started to cry. He started to weep. But he started to ask God. So if you, like that song says, you open up your mouth, God's going to give you something. God's going to provide. The Bible says he didn't even get to the gate. The Lord talked to him again. He says, go back and tell him I'm going to extend his life. I'm going to extend his life. Open your mouth. Ask of God. He's going to do it for you in the name of the Lord. Amen. We have a wonderful God. We're going to ask you, first of all, we have a zone, I think it's a Zoom broadcast that we're very interested in everybody being able to join us. It's tomorrow, and the author, this young man, is going to give us a talk about the sowing the sacred seed. It's an interview. The author is historian Lloyd Barba, and it's a groundbreaking research on the powerful impact that apostolic Pentecostal farm workers had in California. Sowing the sacred traces, the development of Pentecostalism among Mexican-American migrant laborers in California's agricultural industry from 1910 to the 1960s. The link will be on our website. And I kind of take offense to this because we were Pentecostal migrant workers from Texas in the 1960s, and we had an impact in Michigan. Praise God. So it's going to include all of us, okay? That's the way we need to look at it. So you're invited to tune in tomorrow. I'm not exactly sure what time it is and all of that, but amen, it's good to know some of our roots. Definitely our roots as migrant workers, agricultural workers. You may not be that now, but we were back in the day. Yeah. One of the oldest couples in our church, Brother Chavez and Sister Chavez, they're a great young couple, and they were telling me how they used to work in the fields and how they used to pick this, they used to pick that. Brother Montoya, all those that are above our age, we used to do that. And we would go to church after. Yeah, it was painful to our backs, but we would pick whatever it was that we picked. And then we'd go to church and we'd jump around and bounce around and stay till 1 or 2 in the morning. And then still get up and go to the, to the fields. And praise God for that. Amen. Can you just give the Lord praise for that? Praise. Amen. He gives us more grace. You know, I'd like to present today, like when you go to the doctor. When you go to the doctor asks you, okay, what's wrong with you? And only you know what's wrong with you. Sometimes it's lost in the interpretation. You know, when you're telling the doc,
You know, especially in my case, my wife tells me, make sure you tell the doc this. Make sure you tell the doc that. Because you're always complaining about this. You're always complaining about that. And generally, after the appointment, she asked me, did you tell him? I go, oh, I forgot. So I really try to make a point of writing it down on my text. And I say, and you know, anywhere you go. So the doc asks you, well, what do you want? What should I write on your treatment plan? Some of you know you have treatment plans. Some of you go to counseling for vocational counseling or educational counseling. They ask you, well, what are your goals? What do you want? You know, in church, it's the same thing. We come here with a goal in mind. And it's not a short-term goal. It's a long-term goal. Yes, generally, I want to go to heaven. That's everybody's generic goal. I want to go to heaven. Basically, many people say, I don't want to go to hell. Okay. The pastor has given us a goal. Divine increase. I don't come to church, hopefully you can say, I don't come to church just to feel good. I mean, that's a side effect. You know, like medication has side effects. Well, the side effect of coming to church and being in God is feeling good. Amen, I feel good. Woo, woo. I look at this brother over here, brother. He's jumping. I go, man, I wish I could jump like that. I wish I could run like that. Amen. Because that's how we feel. Amen. Because we can't contain the joy. So a side effect of coming, a side effect of being in Jesus is that it feels so good. It feels so comforting. So, amen. So hopefully... hopefully today I can diagnose, we can diagnose and pinpoint some of the things we need to increase so we can achieve that goal in the Lord. Are you with me? Can you help me with that? That's my intentions today is to give you a little bit of insight on our diagnosis. You know, the docs, they know your body. I don't know my body. I don't know my inner ear and all this. And, oh, yeah, this. And he sends me to a specialist. A specialist will tell me, well, Mr. Martinez, because of your age, X and Y and Z, that's a specialist for you. But we need to really look inward. This is me, not you. Me, my pain, my sorrow, my experience. It's different than other people. Can you say that? Your life, your experience is different. Please don't try to understand the other person. I kind of dislike when people say, I know how you feel. No, you don't. Especially in funerals. Don't say that. Your experience was different than mine. My experience was different. So please, when you look at it, you own it. Own your own symptoms. Own your own thoughts. Own your own patterns. Own your own life. And say, Lord, this is what I have to give to you. This is what I'm intending to give to you, Lord. And when you do that, God accepts you just as you are. That's the beauty of it, just as you are. God gives more grace. James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I mean, we're just talking about the mountains. We're just singing about the mountains. You know, bow down. Everything bow down. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Bowing down. Surrendering. Submitting to God.
Thank you. Well, when I was a kid, we used to sing this song. All the things, I don't want to sing it because I'm not real good at singing. But it says like this: all the things that I own and hold dear to my heart, they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus, let me use them to brighten up my day or my life. So remind me, dear Lord. And the chorus goes, roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Just remember that I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtains of memory. Show me where I could have been. Some of you, God has gotten you through so much. God has protected us so much. We have to ask Him to remind us. Remind me, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And bless His holy name. Don't ever forget what He's done for you. Oh, it says in Spanish, todas mis entrañas. All my inner parts, it's just not the same in English or in Spanish. It's all my inner self, all my organs, praise ye the Lord. His hand goes down there, and He's the one that heals you. He's the one that protects you. He's the one that gives you. He's the one that does all of these things. That's what we meant when we get into that point. That's our goal this morning, that you can be able to get to that point. And honor and give it all to the Lord. The 11:29-30 reminds, take my yoke upon you. Now this is Jesus talking. He says, you need to take the yoke upon yourself. My yoke. In other words, my feeling, my thoughts, my attitude, take it upon you. And you've all seen yokes. It's an oxen, he carries, he's got a load. That represents work. God's going to lift you up. God's going to give you blessing. But you need to work at it. It's not going to come free. We love free stuff. My goodness, Harbor Tools is great for that. My goodness, I asked my wife, where you been? Me and the sister, we went to Harbor Tools. And you did? Yeah, they were giving out this. And free. We love free stuff. Keep on. But Jesus is saying, take this yoke that's mine upon you.
Yeah.
And not only that, but learn. You learn. The pastor said, if you don't learn, you're dead. You die. You gotta learn. And some of you think you can't learn anymore. And then you use that term, you can't teach old person on tricks. No. You have to learn. That means I gotta break down my ignorance? Yes. Ignorance is no. You have no excuse for love. The ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Oh,
I'm gentle with you because you're precious. You're more precious than gold. You're more precious than anything else. Why? Because you're a property of God. Your soul. is very valuable. I know we've mentioned this before, but we are spiritual, eternal beings having a human experience. Think about that, please. It's got to be a concept you can accept, that you're a spiritual being having a human experience. And after this human experience, what? We're going to continue to have this spiritual sense. The Lord made Adam, and he blew into his nostril, and he became a what? Living soul. Whew! You and I, man, we are living spiritual beings. Okay, that's part of our diagnosis. Access one, you're the psychologist over there. You're a human being. You're a human spiritual being. Okay. And then he goes on to say, and lowly in heart. Oh, no. That's the part we don't like. Lowly in heart. That means down there. I was thinking of that word today, and I thought, man, it must be rough to be a low rider in Planada. I don't know why that came up. I'm so bad. Or in snow, anywhere in snow. But anyway, I love low riders. I wish I had one. Amen on that. But he says, learn of me that I'm lowly in heart. That I'm down. He came in a donkey. He was born in a manger. They buried him in a borrowed grave, a sepulchre. He had one robe. He was lowly. He didn't need the dresses you have, sister, in all your closets. I don't have nothing to wear. The pairs of shoes, my goodness, look at all these shoes. Oh, he had one pair of sandals, one robe. He was lonely. He had nothing in this world. He says the foxes have their den. The sparrows have their nest. But the man of God, the man of God didn't have nothing. So, whoo. We were taught the one that dies with the most toys is the winner. Yes. This phone is, I don't know, what is it? Samsung 8. Well, there's been four others after it. So this is kind of an antique. But, you know, the new phones are $1,200. $1,500. I got to have it. Oh, we got to have this. We got to have that. I went to a thrift store down south. I go to the thrift store sometimes. Pair of tennis shoes, $800 in a thrift store. Purses, sisters, purses, the thrift store, $3,000. But it's got to have that emblem on there. It's got to, okay, I'm sorry. I don't want to, you know, mess you up and all that. But he says, lowly in heart. Can I just give that up? It doesn't matter if you have it, as long as that doesn't control you. Go ahead and have it. God will give you riches. God will give you this. God will give you cards and all that. But don't let that take its place, God's place. He says, I am lonely. Because once you do that, you learn of me, amen, you take on your yoke, amen, and you're gentle and lowly, that's when you're going to find rest. And you will find rest for your weary souls.
Oh, that's why I have these headaches, yeah. Oh, that's why I have this blood pressure. Ah, I have diabetes because of
you were so stressed.
God is a stress-free God. God is a stress-free God. God is a stress-free God. You can kick a dead person, right, Brother Joe? You can kick a person. You can't stir up a hornet's nest in someone that's given it all up for Jesus. And he says, "And for my yoke is easy." Oh my goodness, there it is. It's easy. We don't like difficult things. We don't like difficult problems or all that. But he says, it's easy. Now, once it was the Lord not with it? Because, I mean, everything seems to be difficult and hard. And oh my goodness, but he says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden light." It's not a, you know why? Because we give it all to Jesus. We give it all to him. We got this burden. He says, "Cast all your cares upon him." You know, when I hear that word cast, we used to pick pickles. And then we take these five-gallon buckets and we would just throw them over into the big truck there, the big thing, and we come back. And that's kind of how I imagine it. Cast all your cares upon him. Don't take it in yourself. The devil's playing mind games with you. The devil's trying to control your thoughts and make it worse than what it is. That's what we just need to go on. It says, "Love not the world nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So he says, come on, don't love the world. "For all the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life." And that's what I want to talk about today. The pride of life. I mean, that's a bad thing, isn't it? Pride? I mean, we're told to be proud about ourselves. Be proud of your heritage. Be proud. Well, yeah, but don't take it overboard. Yeah, be happy. In other words, be content with who you are. There's one thing to be, you know, overly zealous about something, and then another thing is to be content. You got an old beat-up little car, it barely makes it. Be content. Uh-oh. Now we're getting to the, you know, to the remedy, huh? We got the symptoms. One of the symptoms is pride. And that's the thing that we need to work with. And that's one of the things that we are trying to increase. Increase humility. And the opposite of humility, it pierces the soul, the joints, the marrow of your bones. Pride. Is it in there? Do I feel it? Oh, maybe that's my symptom. Maybe that's what's wrong with me. I thought it was the other person. If you think you're not conceited, it really means you are very conceited indeed. You know, doesn't the Bible say something about seven things or six things that God hates? You know, think about it. Oh, I want to know what you like. My wife and I, when we were getting, I want to know your likes and your dislikes. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite this and that? Oh my goodness, it's the yellow. You know, you ever ask God what he likes? He tells us in the Bible one of the things he hates. He hates six things and then seven things that they're abomination. But the very first thing on that list is a proud look. An arrogant look. Oh, chin up in the air. Conceited. I'm better than you type. I hate that. Oh, please, don't be like that. Ask somebody, am I like that? Not right now, but But when you get your, in your private sense, do you think I'm conceited? Do you think I sub-nose? Do you think? At the end, I'm going to give you a website where you can take a test. Okay, not right now. But you can take, you can log on and take your test. Nobody will know. You don't have to send it to the pastor or the pastor's wife. Amen. I love Sister Margaret. Sister Margaret, God bless you, Sister Margaret. She's the brother's right hand and left hand. There was times back in the old days, before Google, before anything else, Sister Margaret was Google. People would call her for all kinds of things. And I remember being there for dinner one time at their house, and somebody calls her and asks her, how do you spell aggravation? And Sister kindly gives her the... She doesn't say, don't you have a dictionary? Don't you have a glossary? Don't you? No, she just says, you know, Google. All right, amen. Thank you, Brother Joe, for Sister Margaret. Amen, they're wonderful, wonderful. So take that test. Take that test. See where you are. Because God doesn't like that arrogant look. Just the look. My goodness. I know. Don't judge the book by its cover. But my goodness, we have the arrogance to walk around, and God doesn't like that. This is not the red carpet. This is not Hollywood. This is real life. This is, yes, yes. I have 10 shoes that I've worn for 20 years. That's my shoes. You don't have to mock them. You don't have to say, brother, where'd you? No, just accept me as I am. I have old shoes. Please don't be arrogant. You know, one of the things we've seen, and it's real... prevalent in our society, and not so much in the society, but in our all our lives, is entitlement. Yeah. Entitled. I feel I deserve more. This church should be happy I'm here. Oh, entitlement. I would imagine that would come with that arrogant look that you have. Oh, no, that we have, sorry. They should be happy, entitled. You know, one of the greatest examples of breaking this cycle is when you tithe, when you give your offering. Yes, you need it. Yes, you have bills. Yes, but it belongs to God. He's entitled to that. I'm talking Bible. I'm not talking brother. I'm talking Bible. There's a little scripture for some of you that may not understand and know totally. Can a man rob God? Can you rob God who has it all? Who's plentiful in everything? Yes! We have robbed him, the Bible says, in our tithes, in our offerings. And why do we not do that? Because of our sense of entitlement. Paul and Silas, or Paul, Peter, excuse me, Peter asked Ananias and Sapphira, why have you allowed Satan to enter into your mind? They were going to give all they had. They were going to sell all they had and give it to the disciples. But something came over them and said, they'll never know. It'll never happen. Oh. Sometimes our tithes go in electronically, and I asked Sister Darlene, Sister Darlene, do you get those? Does they come? Because I don't distrust you, but I'm just hoping the computers and everything send them through. She goes, yes, brother. We go, oh, thank God for that. But this thing of entitlement, Peter says, why have you allowed Satan to enter into your head that you don't give what you're supposed to give? Entitlement. I'm entitled. Well, I'm entitled to this part. 10%, that's a lot, honey. That's a lot. No, give it to him. Say, because why? I will open up the gates of heaven. I will open up the doors of heaven, and I will pour out. I will pour out of my blessing. I will pour out, why? From a little camper shell to millions and millions of dollars all over. Why? Because you learned of me that I am meek and lowly, and I will give you rest. Isn't that beautiful to walk around with an empty wallet? There's nothing more freeing than that. I have nothing. You can stop there at the freeway and there's beggars there, and you really can say, I have nothing. Yeah. Empty wallet, empty, empty, and then that's basically what God wants, empty of self. I have nothing. I am dead to him. I no longer live, but he liveth in me. And when he liveth in me, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I have all the things that I need. I believe that I'm exempt from responsibility, entitlement. I'm not responsible for that. I'm not responsible. You know, the Bible makes us responsible for one another. You know, you don't have to go to their door. All you have to do is text them. How you doing, bro? Miss your smile. Miss your contagious life. You're responsible for one another. Not only your family, but if you feel something for someone that you've been praying, you need to go up there and tell them. Come to the altar and say, brother, something. Just give them an encouragement. God is impressing you. You're the conduit. He's telling you something about that person. Anyway. Believe that I'm exempt from responsibility. I'm owed special treatment. The red carpet. No, Jesus says when you come, don't desire the front seats. No, you don't deserve it. Jesus deserves it. Jesus deserves the honor and the glory. Entitlement becomes that. The spouse who thinks everything's going wrong in their marriage, his partner's fault, and that she doesn't shape up, she just might lose him. That's entitlement. I don't know about her. If she doesn't change, I know. You've been through it. The person who is capable of taking care of himself and still expects others to do that for him because he feels he's owed that.